Hello, everybody. Thank you for coming. So my name is Colin Hart. I'm from the University of Hawaii at Manoa, and my research is on the effects of artificial and natural drying systems on post-harvest parameters and quality characteristics for cacao. So cacao is the main ingredient for chocolate, and drying is a post-harvest step right after fermentation that occurs. So there are essentially two main systems of drying, artificial and natural drying. Artificial drying is done mainly in regions where environmental conditions are extremely poor. So this involves the use of direct fired heaters or heat exchangers to reduce the drying rate. This is often associated with poor quality and is also can be pretty expensive for growers, so it's not often adopted, whereas sun drying or natural drying is definitely the preferred method. But there's also some downsides to sun drying, which involves just spreading the freshly fermented beans onto drying screens, generally in greenhouses, just because it's relying completely on the environment, so it can be very hit or miss in terms of quality. So drying is done to bring the moisture percentage down from about 60% moisture, right when the beans are done fermenting, down to about 6 to 8% moisture. And anywhere above 8% moisture, and you run the risk of contamination in the beans, especially during storage. And anywhere below 6% moisture, and you run the risk of the beans breaking in storage and transportation, which can also lead to some contamination later on. So why can't we just take the beans right after fermentation and just put them into an oven and just desiccate them at high heat for in like 12 hours? Well, you have to think of drying as an extension of the fermentation process. So during fermentation, acetic acid, which is a key metabolite in fermentation, is diffused into the cotyledon. And during drying, it's really important for that acetic acid to be released out of the bean. And that happens through a migration where the acetic acid moves from the cotyledon out through the testa, which is a semi-permeable membrane that encases the cotyledon, and then volatilizing into the atmosphere. So if you dry the beans too quickly at high temperatures, that testa actually can harden and act as a physical barrier, thus trapping the acetic acid into the cotyledon. And that can result in like really astringent, bitter flavors, which can negatively impact the overall quality of the chocolate. So it's really about finding that middle ground between the two extremes. If it takes too long to dry, you can get spoilage. If it dries too quickly, you can also negatively impact flavor. So it's about finding that middle ground between those two extremes to really maximize the quality and efficiency of this process. So exposure to heat source plays a critical role in drying rate and also in quality. So constant drying, which is generally used in artificial systems, which is basically a constant exposure to a heat source. It also happens in sun drying systems too, just exposed to the sun all day. Often leads to negative flavor because of what we just talked about, that case hardening effect where acidity gets trapped into the cotyledon. To reduce the negative impacts caused by constant drying, a system called intermittent drying is often employed, and that's basically just regulating the exposure period that the beans have to a heat source. So a common method, for example, for sun drying systems around the world is there's movable roofs that get pushed over the beans to kind of provide some shade and thus slow the drying system down a little bit. So the objectives of this research were to evaluate the natural and artificial drying methods and their effect on post-harvest characteristics, so pH, color attributes of the beans, drying rate, and also flavor characteristics. So a big part of this study was to see which of these different drying systems produce really good quality chocolate and produce bad quality chocolate. And those reasons might seem obvious, but there's actually some pretty specific implications for Hawaii. This is really because Hawaii has a very unique production system in compared to the rest of the cacao producing world. And this has mainly to do with the extremely high labor and land costs of Hawaii compared to other producing countries. So we cannot compete with the rest of the world in terms of quantity, that commodity market, which means we have to really produce less but target a much higher price market in order for us to succeed as a statewide industry. And also for this study, we're looking at novel drying treatment. So dehumidification has never really been looked at in literature before, as well as a few other intermittent drying treatments as well. So All of these treatments took place on Hawaii Island. There were five separate sites, so you can see three of them on the eastern side, one in Hilo, one in Papaikoa, which is a little north of Hilo, and then in Pepekeo. Those all represent extremely wet areas of Big Island, so we're getting an average of 130, 140 inches per year on that side. And then on the other side, Kainaliu, which is right there, and then Kauai High, a little up north, those represent extremely dry, low relative humidity sites. And I should say that all the artificial drying treatments that we use took place in a lab in Hilo. So timeline. So treatment started in September of 2017 and were conducted monthly until November. Started again back in January of 2018, continued monthly until May. And then summer is kind of the off season, so we weren't harvesting. And then began back in October of 2018. And terminated the study in December of 2018. So ultimately, 11 replications for each treatment, which occurred over time. So drying treatments, there are 12 total drying treatments, which I'm going to kind of breeze through here. Seven of them were natural treatments, and five of them were using artificial methods. And each had a constant and intermittent cycle, as we discussed previously, except for the control. All right, so this is the control method. So this is sun drying in Papaikoa. So that's on the eastern side of Hawaii, really high rainfall, high relative humidity. This is generally the method that's done in Hawaii right now. So drying in a greenhouse, spreading freshly fermented beans on screens about 5 centimeter depths, and just leaving them out full day length periods until they reach about 7% moisture. So that was our control for this study. And you can see extreme variability in the quality of the product. So you can see on the left, I mean, that's just straight mold. I mean, you can't sell that. You can't make chocolate out of that. And that happens. So occasionally you just lose an entire harvest just due to inclement weather. So that's like if you don't see sun for 3 weeks, which is definitely something that happens in Hilo side. But occasionally, in good environmental conditions, we can actually get a pretty nice looking quality bean. The next treatment on the east side, so on the rainy side, was drying in Pepekeo. So this is using a much different drying system, so very open air, so higher airflow and lower temperature. And we had a constant and intermittent treatment for this cycle. The intermittent treatment involved scooping the beans at night into sealed off plastic containers, and that was to prevent the reabsorption of moisture at nighttime when humidity was at its highest. And then the constant was just letting the beans sit out full daylight periods. Sun drying in Kainaliu, so this is going over to the west side of the island. We had a constant intermittent drying cycle over there as well, and also for the Kauai High drying treatment. So Kauai High is definitely like one of the driest places in the state of Hawaii. It's just like literally a bone dry lava desert over there. And so we had two treatments as well, an intermittent and a constant drying cycle. Oven drying, so we use scientific convection ovens. All of these treatments were dried at 57 degrees Celsius. The only difference between the treatments was the exposure period. So we had a constant, which was subjected to 24-hour cycles. The standard that you can see was dried at 3 hours the first day, 4 hours the second day, 6 hours the day after that, and then at 10-hour periods until they reached 7% moisture. The Trinidad method is a common method that's used in Trinidad for oven drying like this, and it's basically just drying for 2 hours daily until the beans reach 7% moisture. So that's like really the slowest method that was used in this study. Dehumidification, which is a pretty novel system of drying, no heat, it's just dehumidified air passing over the beans. So for this, we had two treatments. We had a constant, where the beans are subjected to 30% relative humidity until they reach 7% moisture. And a second treatment was kind of a step-down approach. So the beans started at 65% relative humidity, so higher, and then dropped in 10% increments every 24 hours until the beans reached 7% moisture. So yeah, very different from the other treatments in terms of just no heat was applied to them. So data collection, so we took moisture of the beans twice daily from each of these treatments around the island, pH of the cotyledon and testa before and after drying, color attributes of the beans using a colorimeter, ambient data, so ambient relative humidity during drying, ambient temperature, ambient wind speed, and ultimately organoleptic evaluations. So for this aspect, we used Dandelion Chocolate in San Francisco, and they evaluated all of the samples for this project. So for drying rate, So drying rate was statistically different between treatments. So you can see that these are all acronyms, but SDP, that's the sun drying and Popeye-Co on the east side of the island, that took much longer than any of the other treatments to dry. At about 17.9 days, that was the mean. So a pretty long time. So there's times over 3 weeks that it took to dry. Whereas the oven dried constant, ODC, on the left, was significantly lower, where it taking about a little less than 3 days, about 2.88. Also significantly different from both the dehumidification treatments, DDC and DDSC, as well as the two Kauai High treatments, so SDKWC and SDKWS as well. For pH, pH was significantly different between treatments, with oven-dried constant having the lowest pH for both the cotyledon and the testa. And the sun-drying and pepekeo, so on the eastern side, the constant method had the highest pH for both the cotyledon and the testa. The regression analysis showed a positive linear relationship between drying rate and pH for both the cotyledon and the testa. So basically, as drying time decreased, so did pH. And that's kind of supporting that case hardening hypothesis, where as the beans are rapidly dried, that acetic acid gets trapped into the bean and lowers the pH. So get into some of the organoleptic evaluation. So after each of these beans were dried, they were bagged in breathable sacks for about 6 weeks, which is the industry standard, and then shipped off to Dandelion Chocolate in San Francisco, where they underwent a series of evaluations by a series of trained panelists, so 7 panelists overall at the company. And for this aspect, we included a sample set from Ghana, because Ghana really is the global standard for quality, so we wanted to see how all of these treatments compared to more of a global standard. So for quality, we had 2 main ways of evaluating quality. One was flavor intensity, so that was a quantitative measurement, basically looking at different levels of cocoa, nut, fresh fruit, dried fruit, dairy, sugar, spice, herbal, floral, other, as well as off flavors too. And those are some pretty common flavor groups used in the evaluation of chocolate. And also we had more of a qualitative method this was all done by Dandelion Chocolate using just preference scores. So aside from assigning, calculating what each of these chocolate samples were in terms of cocoa, nut, fresh fruit, etc., did the chocolate makers actually like these samples, right? Which was pretty important for this study, I think. So for that, we used the love it, acceptable, hate it scale. So basically, at the end of this, they took a little toothpick that had the blind sample code on it, and they just kind of slid it on that scale where they were. So if they really loved it, they put it on that side. Hate it, kind of more on the right? How am I doing on time? For flavor intensity, fresh fruit was a flavor group that was significantly different between treatments. So you can see that ODS, that's the oven-dried standard, scored highest for that, and the dehumidification drying scored much lower. Also, the Ghana standard, which is GS, scored much lower in terms of fresh fruit. The word cloud using, this is basically some of the most common words that were used to describe fresh fruit intensity. Herbal floral was another major flavor group that was significantly different between treatments. So you can see that Ghana standard, the GS, was significantly higher than SDKS, which is the sun-drying treatment in Kainaliu on the western side. Here's some descriptors of herbal floral. Overall preference, so there was shown to be no significant difference in the preference scores for any of these treatments, which is kind of interesting. There was a few reasons, I think, for this. One is that this is still some preliminary results, so there's a whole other round of flavor evaluations that still needs to get added into this study. So that third round might kind of bring out some differences in the preference scores. So you can see they're all kind of within that acceptable range. People didn't really love it. People didn't hate it. It was all just kind of acceptable scores. This could also be attributed to, so this is showing each individual evaluator and how they evaluated preference for each of these samples. So you can see all the treatments on the bottom and the score. So 1 is a most favorable rating, 8 and 9 is like hate it scale. So you can see, let's go to the Ghana standard, for instance, GS. One evaluator consistently scored it amazingly, loved the Ghana standard, and that another evaluator in that same sample hated it, right? And you can see this wide range between each of these. So there's just really not a consistent determination of quality. It's so subjective based on the evaluator. So I think this should really be taken into account when further research is done on these subjects. And I think increasing the sample size would really maybe bring out some differences in evaluators too. But that's pretty much it. I think I'm right out of time. So, all right. Thank you. Yeah, we can do one question. Yeah. So the Ghana cacao, that was all, we didn't ferment those. We got those from a distributor. Let's talk about that after. That's a whole other thing. That's going to take me a little while. But yeah, let's talk. Yeah. Yeah.
I can briefly tell you what we do.
Okay.
For instance, when we have it, we don't bring the pot the same
way. Yep.
We live in it, then we bring the pot maybe the next day or two.
Yeah. Yeah, you do the heap fermentations, yeah.
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 Yeah. So maybe if you adapt that to a fermentation process, you will get some.
Yeah, I want to talk to you after, for sure. I think we're going to move into the next presenter right now, which is Joel Corrales Garcia. Next? Okay. Yeah, thank you very much.